Symbolism, THE Universal Language 353. Perpetuate the quest of the past, and tomorrow is but the knowledge of today plus an added period for contemplation. A few simple rules will be of value to those desirous of assuming the mantle of philosophy. There are many queer pockets in its ancient folds, and only when they are investigated in order will their contents prove of highest value. It has well been said that there are tricks in every trade. These tricks are a certain knowing how by which accomplishment is facilitated. In accordance with the ancient Pythagorean law, it is first necessary to establish the triangle before the solution of any problem is possible. The science of symbolism is accordingly based upon a threefold premise. Once the mind is familiarized with this triangular foundation, integrity and industry will discover the correct solution. First, every substance, object, element, and agent in the universe is capable of instructing man in those phases of divine order which are involved in its own constitution. In other words, everything can teach us of itself, and as all natures differ from each other to greater or lesser degree, each performs a definite ministry of instruction. From an earnest consideration of their constitutions and procedures, man is enabled to familiarize himself with those laws of being to which he himself is also subject. Second, the more fully an individual is acquainted with the operations of the inferior universe, the better qualified he is to contemplate the constitution of the causal spheres. This is a development of the Hermetic axiom of analogy, namely, that the above is like the below and the below like the above. The knowledge of inferiors is necessary to the knowledge of superiors. The danger arising, however, from the analysis of inferiors is that the mind may form an attachment for them and thus be rendered incapable of turning from them to the consideration of superiors. 354 Lectures on Ancient Philosophy. Symbolism, THE Universal Language 355. Third, all natures should be regarded as worthy of profound analysis, for the deadly enemy of all proficiency is a superficial attitude toward any phase of existence. The true source of man's education is not to be found in books, but lies in his observation of natural phenomena and his attempt to estimate its significance. Failure to regard any object as worthy of particular attention is to lose the opportunity to understand the superphysical function or characteristic which is the intangible but all-powerful cause of the object itself. Symbolism, when thus regarded, is elevated to the dignity of a religion, or more correctly, it becomes the means to the end of religion. To the philosophic atheist, symbolism occupies the middle ground between knowledge and ignorance, becoming the divine instructor through whom the mysteries of the inner spheres are made apparent to the outer sense perceptions. Thus, instead of waiting for the heavens to open and permit an angelic visitant to deliver homilies from an umbo supported by some cumulus cloud, the symbolist liberates through rational procedure the ideas resident in form. These ideas thus freed preach their own silent but ill-informative sermons. To the one capable of discerning God, deity is omnipresent in his own handiworks. The philosopher is the continual recipient of divine revelation, and the gods are proximate indeed to that illumined sage who sees God in the fire and hears him in the wind. The Phrygian dactyls, physicians by magic, employed symbols because of the remarkable therapeutic powers they possessed. The figures drawn upon parchment and papyrus, or carved into the forms of medallions and talismans, were applied to the diseased members or attached to the persons of the sick, and thus by necromantic means dislodged the evil. Agencies conspiring to drive the spirit from its infected nature. Paracelsus, who secured from the Arabians many secrets of pagan theurgy, describes in detail the remedial agencies reposing in the ancient metals, and their alloys, particularly. 356 L'Etours on ancient Ph. Elazop H.Y. Electrum. Of the virtues of electrum, which he declared to be composed of the seven planetary metals, the great Swiss physician writes, vessels fashioned from electrum render their contents safe from poison and from sorcery, for this alloy has great sympathy for the human race. The ancients fashioned from this mystical substance rings, bracelets, medals, seals, figures, bowls, and mirrors, all possessing most wonderful virtues. A ring formed of electrum and worn upon the finger will cure lameness, paralysis, and the epilepsy. I have seen a ring of electrum put on the ring or heart finger of a person afflicted with a secret disease. The ring immediately began to sweat and became spotted and even went out of shape with sympathy for the sufferer. Forms, declared the mysteries, possess strange virtues, and the tracing of these forms intensifies these virtues and renders them potent minis trans to human ills. The Idean fingers of the same Othracians and other curious effigies of human members were magnetized with medicinal virtues and possessed by a spirit whose strength was sufficient to avert plagues or pestilences and liberate the flesh from all manner of infirmity. Not only was it essential that these devices be made out of the proper substances, but they must be fashioned into definite shapes commodious to the astral light which, flowing through the symbol, was conjured thereby to manifest as a preservative or curative agent. Manipulated by the hierophants, the patters, who received their wisdom through a keyhole, these models and figures became as though alive. They were charged as with an electric current, at times glowing or radiating showers of sparks and miniature lightning flashes. As forms are the projections of invisible forces, so their artificial construction invokes invisible natures adapted to their geometric patterns. These supermundanes ensoul the objects and lend their power to the magus whose knowledge is sufficient to control them. This explains the strange phenomenon of the talking images, the vocal mechanisms of the ancients, the urns of prophecy, and the nature of oracles, for even openings in the earth, apertures in walls, and the concavities of vessels, became the abode of genii conformable to those capacities. Moving within their appointed vents and orifices, these spirits caused the phenomenon of winds and strange sounds in sealed amphorae and subterranean crypts. Such forces are too intangible, however, for mortal perception, unless by secret rituals the genii have been invested with a certain amount of terrestrial substance. We shall yet rediscover the secrets of the talking urns that spoke with the voice of ages and through whose lips issued the words of men long dead. By this the ancients did not infer that the dead spoke through these urns, but rather that the words spoken during the lifetime of these men had been preserved in the subtle ethers of cosmos and through specially patterned instruments could be rendered audible again after the lapse of centuries. Science, the necromancy of the 20th century, will yet accomplish by physical means that which the ancient hierophants performed by their rational knowledge of the inner construction of the universe. Symbols are oracular forms, mysterious patterns creating vortices in the substances of the invisible world. They are centers of a mighty force, figures pregnant with an awful power which, when properly fashioned, loose fiery whirlwinds upon the earth. Pythagoras foretold impending disasters by hydromancy, for he possessed a brazen bowl which, when filled with water, became strangely agitated, the surface of the water being continually moved as though a spirit were breathing upon it. Gazing upon the agitated water, the Samian sage foretold by the ripples in the water things which were to come. Pythagoras was also one of the veiled philosophers who revealed his instruction from behind a curtain, permitting only certain favored disciples to behold his face. Those desirous of receiving his words were instructed by an intermediary who stood without the door and heard the illumined discourses through the crevices in the locks. Hence the thought of the keyhole philosophers or hierophants who, never beholding the immortals, were the doorkeepers of the Arcanum Arcanorum. Of this order was the Apostle Peter, whose name, PTR, was symbolism, the universal language. 357. 358 Lectures on Ancient Philosophy. The common appellation bestowed upon the instructors in the sacred rites, who were indeed the living rock upon which the house of wisdom was raised. Christianity, as we have it today, is a philosophy revealed through a keyhole, a few mysterious words caught by an eavesdropper. This illusion, however, has a symbolic rather than a frivolous import. The eavesdropper was a privileged listener, permitted to hear that which he could hear, for while he listened without, the banquet of the gods was going on within. But only when the divinities shout most lustily do mortals catch even the faintest echo. Symbols are keyholes to doors in the walls of space, and through them man peers into eternity. Only to a few, however, is the privilege given to take the gold or silver key of the Kabbalistic light and with it draw back the bolts that hold securely the portals of the Domus Sancti Spiritus. Symbolism, then, is the divine language, and its figures are a celestial alphabet by which those upon the seats of the mighty trace their will in the fabric of the worlds. Though the patterns be infinite and man finite, still in the marvelous pageantry of emblems and figures human creatures may behold the workings of their heavenly masters. The meditating seer beholds strange figures in the sky. There are also signs upon the earth as well as in the heavens, and he who can read them is lifted up and transported into the sphere of reality. The Buddhist mendicant pays homage to the footprints of his Lord, the Egyptians caught upon stone with mallet and chisel the shadows of the gods, and the rational soul gazing out into a universe of images beholds, as it were, a mirage hovering above the expanse of the earth. In this dream world dwell the luminous rishis of the Brahmins' contemplation. Here in majestic file pass the mild-faced bodhisattvas in their pilgrimage through eternity. Gazing downward from this mystery above, the symbolist sees faintly shadowed on the plains of earth this passing pageantry of supermundane things. To the discerning few the outlines of the gods may ever be traced in the flora and fauna of nature, hovering above